Good morning and welcome to worship. We are beginning a new season later this week. Wednesday evening at 6:30 p.m. we'll have our Ash Wednesday service here in the sanctuary. We hope you can join us. Today in Sunday school, after worship, we'll introduce some of the things we'll be doing together, including reading the book that was just referenced on the video. It's called These 40 Days. So it'll be a special time of spiritual growth for all of us as we make our way toward the cross and eventually toward the resurrection as well. So as we begin worship today, we're so glad you're here in person. We're so glad that you're joining us online. And at this time, let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for the love that you've shown us in Jesus. Thank you for your faithfulness throughout this past week. We are together once again to worship you. We are so thankful for the freedoms that we enjoy. We think of those on the other side of the world living in very uncertain times with the effects of war and the uncertainties that that brings. We pray for peace. We pray for justice to be done. And we ask that your hand of protection would be with all of your faithful ones there and all those who are vulnerable at this time. And Father, we're thankful for even faithful Nazarenes who are there serving, loving, helping, bringing comfort any way they can. And we lift them up this morning as well. But Lord, here we are as we prepare to worship. We want to focus completely on you. So come and move in these times. Come and speak into our lives. Help us to lift up your name, to glorify you. Lord, we do want to see you. So open the eyes of our heart this morning as we enter into worship. And as we offer ourselves to you through giving, through prayers, through songs, and through responding to the word, may we be formed in faith to be a faithful people. And we pray this in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. Well, let's stand together and sing. You'll find the words on the screen.
To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of
This time I want to mention how you can give. We have our plate at the back that you can give as you go today. If you're watching online, you can go to fairmeadowchurch.org and click the Give Today button. And it's an easy way to give. Several people give that way, and we appreciate it. You can also give on Facebook by clicking the Donate button. And some of you mail it in as you can. However you do it, we appreciate your faithfulness and stewardship. Of course, our heating bills have still been quite high, but we are doing everything we can to keep that bill under control. But we just appreciate your faithfulness and anything extra that you can do. But as we go to our time of prayer, Joy is going to come and lead us. Of course, we're praying for Christians in the Ukraine and for everyone in the Ukraine as they are struggling in these days. We don't know what the outcome will be, but we know that God will be faithful to everyone. And it's already inspiring to see the way that people are responding. But we also pray for our own nation, for our own difficulties and trials. We pray for those who are sick and in need of the Lord's touch. Connie had a procedure this week, and she is recovering and hopeful that she will have some relief for her neck. But please continue to pray for Connie. Continue to pray for Martha Truman as well. She is still doing therapy. Keep her especially in prayer the next couple of days, because this week they'll do the swallow test again to see if they can reintroduce food, which she is very eager to experience. So please pray for her. Chester and Norma are making their transition, and Chester is here with us today, so we're so grateful for that. But continue to pray for the Goffs also. But again, as we go to prayer, pray for each one of us to be faithful disciples in interesting times. So, Joy, would you lead us?
Let us bow our heads and close our eyes and just relax wherever you are. And let's not think about any of the things that are pressing needs upon us. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you so thankful for the bright sunshine you give us. And when we see this bright sunshine, Lord, we're reminded of how much you love us and what you have done for us. And may we be grateful for each and every day, no matter what the weather is. Father, as we're here this day, we give thanks that we can live in a country and a place, a location, where we're free to worship. We're free to express our love and admiration for you and our thanksgiving. Lord, as we're here this day, we do think about the ones that Pastor mentioned. We pray for healing. We pray for relief of pain. We pray, dear God, that you will be with each one mentioned, that they will feel your presence in their lives. And we know that they're all great believers. Father, you are the great physician. There is nothing that is impossible to you, nothing at all. And Lord, we lift up our loved ones daily in prayer for whatever their needs may be. As Pastor said, we're concerned about the people in the Ukraine and even people in Russia. And Father, most of all, right now, we're thinking about the people in Chicago that have loved ones and family and friends, and they are so desperate to get information, so desperate to know that their loved ones are right. And we know that we have Americans that are still there that chose to stay. Just be with the situation, dear Lord. Be with the leaders of the nations involved. And we pray that a right conclusion will come to this. And Father, we know that all things are possible there also. And as we're here, dear God, we pray for our country. We pray for our leaders. We pray for individuals who are making a difference. And let us know that no matter what we do, if we do it in love and with good thoughts, we will be an asset. We will be doing the kingdom work. And Father, that's why we're still here. We have work to do. We're your ambassadors. We represent you in all things. I pray for each and every family that's here in person this day and for those that are watching online. I pray that our homes will be havens of peace where we put you and your son at the head of our families. Let us get rid of all fear. Fear doesn't get us anything, Lord. It's just like we're spinning our wheels. So let us be faithful and not fearful. Father, as our pastor brings the word today, prepare our hearts to receive it. And may your Holy Spirit speak through him, Lord. And when we leave here this day, may we go out into the world to represent your son. Be with Pastor Tim. Keep him safe. Keep him healthy. And dear God, we give thanks for his prayer support for each and every one of us. And Lord, I pray that each one of us will be faithful in lifting each other in prayer. We don't have to have special words. There doesn't have to be a special time. We can talk to you just as we talk to our neighbor or our friend. Dear God, we love you so much. We are so truly thankful for all things. And it's in your son's holy and precious name that I pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, at this time, let's look to God's word and let's stand together if you're able. Luke chapter 9. And we're going to begin our reading at verse 28 this morning. So open your heart to God's word. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now, Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. This is God's word. You can be seated. Well, it seems like the disciples were thinking too small about Jesus the Messiah. They had just been talking with Jesus about who people said he was, and Peter got it right as to his title. But there were signs that they thought of him as a political leader, one who would deliver them from oppression. So Peter knew the correct title, that he was the Messiah, and that word is translated into the Greek as the Christ. In fact, whenever we say Jesus Christ, we aren't saying Jesus' first name and last name, much as some people think. Instead, we're saying his first name and his title, Jesus the Christ, or Jesus the Messiah. Well, sadly, even just a few verses later, the disciples end up arguing over who is the greatest among them. So they're not quite on track, and they think they're the ones that have to do the things that will be great. Well, sometimes I think that we think Jesus needs a lot of help too, and we think it's about worldly powers and worldly things. So modern people maybe aren't so different. A certain world political leader currently thinks that he is a conqueror, and we all know who I'm talking about. He thinks he'll make his country great by invading and controlling other countries. The leader of the country that has been invaded is saying that they will stand and they will overcome the oppressors. And many are praising him as a deliverer. And here at home, we have political leaders on both sides. And they both claim that our country is headed in the wrong direction, but it can be saved by their strong leadership. Something like nationalism is taking root in many places around the world. Now, patriotism is different. Patriotism is being loyal to the best of your country. Nationalism is valuing your country above all else. The Romans took this to another level, and they actually worshiped their leader. But the Christians' answer to that was to say, Jesus is Lord. So let's just say that together. Jesus is Lord. Above all earthly leaders. And Jesus, as it turned out, wasn't particularly interested in a worldly kingship. Now, so for some, it's politics. For others, it's a better job or more money or a new relationship. Whenever we set our hopes on things or people to deliver us, we underestimate who Jesus is and what he has for us. It can be like, hey, Jesus, thanks for the forgiveness. Now I'll take over the thing about trying to build my best life. Now, most of us wouldn't actually say, hey, Jesus, thanks for the blessings, but I'm going to invade a nearby country just to make sure I feel more secure. But would we look for wisdom on Facebook instead of digging deeper into God's word? Would we manipulate relationships to feel more secure in our family or our friendships? Would you talk someone else down to make yourself feel better? Well, we can disregard all of these paths and options because we have another one. We can choose to trust Jesus completely. Amen? We can understand that he is here to encompass God's long-range plan, reaching all the way back in history, reaching all the way forward to the conclusion of all things. It's a plan to deliver human beings from everything that holds us back, not just the thing that's bugging us most this week. Well, so that's the backdrop. The disciples, us, looking at Jesus and aiming low in terms of what he's here to do. And so put yourself in this scene. Jesus takes his disciples, kind of sensing where they are, and he takes them up on a mountain. Not easy to hike up a large hill like that. He takes them to a different place to get a higher perspective. And there, in the midst of this experience, suddenly they see who? Moses, and Elijah. Now, do you know who these folks are? Well, this is referring essentially to the whole Old Testament. Everything that God had done and said clearly in the past. The Torah, which is the first five books of the Bible, and the prophets, which is where the history plays itself out with God's representatives speaking the word of the Lord to a people going astray, and even forecasting some of the things that would come in the future. That whole history of God working among God's people. No earthly leader is ever going to be greater than Moses. But Jesus is. Moses appears, and he looks to Jesus. No earthly spiritual leader would be greater than Elijah. You can read about his exploits. But Jesus is greater. Elijah appears, and he looks to him. These men aren't there reminding Jesus about the glories of what they did in the past. They're talking to him about what he is about to do, and they're impressed. So Peter sort of misreads this vision, I think. He sort of sees them as equals, and he wants to then set up booths there and have them live there up on that mountain. They could sell tickets and popcorn and have face painting and maybe put a roller coaster over there. People would want to come and celebrate this forever and ever. But he's kind of missing the point. The point of the vision is that Jesus is greater than anything and everything that has come before. And it's interesting. In the Greek, it says that they are discussing his exodus. Sounds a lot like Exodus, doesn't it? His departure. Jesus was leading his people out of much more than political oppression. He was leading them out of the fallenness and oppression of sin, leading them through the challenges of death and hell and everything else to give us spiritual victory that can see us through any time of crisis. Well, then there's this voice that speaks as well. This voice that speaks from the cloud, that speaks from heaven, is God the Father. And the voice says, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." I think it's a way of saying, "Stop talking, Peter." Stop talking and listen. Now, he's not an interesting voice that we can lay alongside of others and in a leisurely way consider his words. He is a singular voice, a voice that reveals God directly to us. All other voices find their meaning in the voice of Jesus. Anything an earthly leader gets right will only be a slight reflection of Jesus' glory. So let's remember that. Jesus gets the glory. Not warriors, not leaders. He's not looking for superstars. But he does invite us to join his mission. So Jesus continues on in his ministry, and he revealed his transforming mission in the verses that follow. So let's read this together. In verse 37, "On the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met him. Just then a man from the crowd shouted, 'Teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He's my only child.' Suddenly a spirit seizes him, and all at once he shrieks. It convulses him until he foams at the mouth. It mauls him and will scarcely leave him. I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not." Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." While he was coming, the demon dashed him to the ground in convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And all were astounded at the greatness of God, while everyone was amazed at all that he was doing. And it still says, he said to his disciples, but we're not going to go on from there. So all were astounded at the greatness of God. That's what should happen when we are living out Jesus' mission. It may not always be a miraculous event, but it should always be an event where God is revealed. There should be no confusion as to who is great. God is great. Let's say that together. God is great. Leaders, the best ones, are his followers. So we begin with the greatness of God, and out of that flows a whole new way of life. And that's what was being revealed on the mountain that day. Though we're surrounded by ignorance and darkness, we have a message to reveal. We have a Messiah to share with those who need to be delivered. And we all need to be delivered. Amen. So Jesus is showing his disciples more of who he is. His clothing becomes dazzling white. We see these men from history appear. We hear God speaking and calling them to listen to him, that there should be no doubt. This is not just a political Messiah. This is the Son of God on earth, revealing deep things to us, showing us all that we need to know. He's the one we need to listen to, and he's the one we still need to listen to. Amen? So let us not lose sight of that. In our daily walk, when we're making important decisions in our lives, when we're dealing with the concerns of things around the world, let us never forget Jesus is the one we can listen to. And Jesus invites us to join him on his transforming mission. Let's say that together. Jesus invites us to join him on his transforming mission. Another scripture found in 2 Corinthians 3, 12 through 18. The Apostle Paul puts it this way. Again, I'll invite you to read it with me. Since then, we have such a hope, we act with great boldness, not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to keep the people of Israel from gazing at the end of the glory that was being set aside. But their minds were hardened. Indeed, to this very day, when they hear the reading of the Old Covenant, that same veil is still there, since only in Christ is it set aside. Indeed, to this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. But now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. Thanks be to God. These are powerful words. God is working deeply in our lives. He is transforming us every day as we live into this mission he has given us. And we can therefore act with boldness to bring help, to bring hope, to bring salvation to those who need it. And we are transformed along the way. As we serve his mission, we become more like him. That's wonderful. Well, a new season is upon us, friends. And this Wednesday at 6:30, we'll have a special service to launch an emphasis on prayer and devotion and obedience to God. We'll have a devotional guide for daily prayer. It's called These 40 Days. Today in Sunday school, if you can stay, we'll talk about it more. But the point is the same as always, following Jesus and joining him in his mission. I'll say that again, following Jesus and joining him in his mission. We need all the Jesus we can get, amen? And he is offering himself completely to us. So let us open ourselves up to all that God has for us. And we know people who need him, right? people who aren't experiencing Jesus in their everyday life. Have them in mind as you pray and read and think and grow during this time, how you can act in loving ways to help Jesus become real to those who need to know him. So this last verse, let's read this together again. Verse 18. And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. This is the opportunity that is before us every day, to open the Word of God, to let it shine into our lives, to let the Spirit work deeply, transforming us. But it's activated as we live in obedience. So let's make that a special focus in these days to come. Let's focus every way that we can through reading, through prayer, through times of quiet reflection, and through action. And when we come to the Holy Week and the special events that lie in the future, may we be prepared in a special way to remember the significance of all that our Savior has done for us. But in this season, may we take up our cross and follow him. Listen to him. Let's pray. Father, we're going to get quiet for just a moment, and we're going to listen to the voice. Lord Jesus, thank you that you spoke words of deliverance. Lord Jesus, thank you that you spoke words of healing. Lord Jesus, thank you that you spoke words of challenge. But Lord, thank you even more that you spoke words of invitation, that you welcome even the likes of us into your family, onto your team. And Lord, may your deep and rich message of forgiveness and hope and renewal and transformation, may it take root in us like never before. May we grow in you like never before. May we spring to life as the days get longer. And Father, may we put our hand to the plow, and may we pray and love and reach until everyone knows who you are and what you mean to us. So Father, let your glory come down. Let your power be revealed in our midst. And let us humbly receive your grace and move through these days together in ways that bring you glory and honor. And we ask these things in your powerful name, the name above all other names, the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let's stand together. And let's declare the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now go. Listen to God's voice this week. Read the words of Jesus and be transformed by them. Let us live faithfully in the grace that he provides. In Jesus' name, amen. Joy has your books. You don't start reading until